Well, we're told, Roger, that the children tragically dying in the flood is Trump's fault.
Of course.
Right.
What isn't?
Yeah, everything is Trump's fault. Except there's one problem. If you can look at the headline in the New York Post, the front cover story today. Texas officials scrapped flash flood alley warning system before 27 were killed at Camp Mystic because it was too expensive. Officials in Kerr County, Texas, where 27 campers that we know of so far and counselors at Christian summer camp were killed in the catastrophic flooding, had discussed installing a flood warning system along the banks of the Guadalupe River, known as Flash Flood Alley, since this flash flood's been a problem. Wow. Probably not a place you should put a summer camp.
Does that tell you anything? Yeah.
Yeah, but it was rejected as too expensive. Kerr County is home to around 50,000 people. They'd looked into installing sirens, river gauges, and other modern communications tools along the waterway in 2017, but ultimately decided against it.
I had not heard that. That is amazing.
Yeah, listen to this. This is Kerr County Commissioner Tom Moser. We can do all the all the water level monitoring we want, but if we don't get in that information to the public in a timely way, then the whole thing is just not worth it.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So earlier on the show, we had it is eerie how children were swept away in a deadly but silent, because think of it, it's the middle of the night, you can't see it, you're sleeping.
No, it's like the 1977 case of it, Toccoa Falls, 4 o'clock in the morning. They never knew what hit them.
I didn't know that happened there.
Oh, yeah, it was the college up there. And a wall of water came down from an overwhelmed dam, and it was the classic case, came over the falls. Into the residential area of the college. I think the toll ended up being 35.
Wow.
Out of that. No hope. No hope whatsoever for them.
Well, that's exactly what happened on the Guadalupe River.
Oh, sure.
In 1987.
Yeah, 87.
1987 at another Christian camp.
Yeah.
The water will sneak up on you. It doesn't make any noise, and it gradually rises. New York Post reporting this morning, they tragically found one father. He had been trying to hold on to his two babies, and he was in a tree. He would not let go of him. He held them so tightly, they found him dead with the two children, still gripping them.
Wow.
And, you know, you end up in a situation like that. He had people begging him to hand the babies down.
Oh, sure.
But the rushing water they were standing in was so strong, he was afraid to. And, you know, as a parent, you'd make a terrible decision. Do you take the risk they get swept away with your child, or do you hold on and your gut instinct is to hold on? So he did.
Yeah. Can you imagine being even faced remotely with a dilemma, even approaching that in life? Yeah.
You know, what's interesting about it, too, is, you know, when you have kids, you raise them, you try to get them to do their chores and be responsible and study for stuff and turn things in on time or whatever. Do you never picture those children ending up in a situation where not only can you not help them or advise them, but they're fighting for their lives and they're on their own? I imagine all throughout human history, hundreds of thousands of years ago and forward, many children face these situations, but that's not typical in modern society.
Oh, no.
Here's these are two brothers who, this is kind of a fascinating story. They're at the camp. They were in their bunkhouse. And they were watching the water rise and rise and rise and rise. So they went higher and higher, but then it hit the rafters. And then you're like, wow, if this goes to the top, there's no way out, right?
No place to go.
Mom's not there to tell you. Dad's not there to tell you. You're going to have to go into the water and swim out. As scary as that is, you could drown doing it. And you're going to have to, you've seen this water coming by, you're going to have to go out in it. But they figured it out. One was 9 and one was 11.
Tell me they went through the roof.
Well, I'll let them tell the story.
I'm one of the campers from Camp Lahana, one of the camps that flooded. And I had a firsthand view of the flood. And so the cabins were flooding and the walls were like, they broke down. And all of the campers in those cabins had to go up on the rafters and they had to wait there until they could swim out. And my brother here, he had to swim out of his cabin.
The flood started getting bigger, and it was going up to, we had bunk beds in our cabins, and it was going up to the top bunk, and we had one choice, and we had to swim out of our cabins.
What time was it? It was, just
it was like, we woke up at
2 Yeah, we had to wake up at like 4 a.m. But on the way here, we saw all of like the other camps destroyed, like obliterated.
And where were can you tell me, how'd you guys get out of there? They put you guys on buses or jabs?
Yes, yeah, we had to get on a bus.
Yes, we had to get on a bus. We were in other cabins for, like cabins on hills for about 17 hours.
We hosted a cabin.
Buses get here.
I wish he'd let the little one talk more, but the whole backstory there, the little one who is 9 had to make that decision. Yeah. You know what? This is going to go all the way to the roof. Yeah. I got to swim. I'm going to have to go underwater and swim out.
No matter what, yeah.
And so, you know what? Mom is not there. Dad is not there. You can whine. You could cry. You can break down. You got to grow up real fast to make a decision to save your own life. And I always wonder, what would my kids do? How would they do if I wasn't there? What would, you know, would they freak out? Would they break down? Would they have that eerie calm? How, and you can't prepare your kids for it.
Yeah. And a question that I have in particular in the case with Camp Mystique and other structures along the Guadalupe, how do they get insurance?
Excellent question, especially given the history. Imagine.
I mean, down on, and I lived and worked in media in Texas for years down on, like, the Brazos down around Waco, which is a much more stable area. There are places down there, beautiful areas, that I'm sure subdivision developers literally salivate over, where you can't build two sticks because you couldn't possibly get flood insurance under any circumstances, but it happens. Of course, people still build on below the dunes on coastal areas.
So yeah,
we learn very slowly and very costly.
Yeah, this time hopefully the lesson will stick. Meanwhile, Roger, this is very interesting. National Review, another subject.
Yeah,
everybody should read this. Democracy experts scorned by Trump are plotting to sabotage democracy. That's a nice way to put it. They're plotting to overthrow the country. The, you know, all those people inside USAID, how they're part of, basically they are the cash arm of the CIA overthrowing governments.
Star Chamber.
Yeah. And they do all the little things like starting the fake publications and organizing the fake groups and training them violently. It's all that stuff. Okay. Well, there was a headline in a news outlet called Notice. Trump fired them. Now they're plotting to stop him. They're USAID employees. And they have basically found a gathering point, and they're interviewing one of them. They are plotting to overthrow the United States government. They're very open about it. Take it from those of us who worked in authoritarian countries. We've become one, said a currently employed federal official who spoke to Notice on condition of anonymity. So he's inside the federal government.
Of course.
They were so quick to disband AID as in USAID. The group that supposedly instigates color revolutions, but they've done a very foolish thing. You just released a bunch of well-trained, and I would add liberal lunatic individuals, into your population. If you kept our offices going.
You could at least watch them.
And had us play solitaire in the office. It might have been safer for your regime.
They were widely known as almost ludicrously corrupt, but at least, you know, that at the time, you were right. They were in one place, and they come and go. And
they hated America and were funding our enemies while our soldiers were fighting them. They gave $2.3 billion to Taliban total.
There you go.
Anyway, so here's National Review. Sorry, what? I've read this 5 times now, and I can see no way of comprehending it other than as an insane threat to bring down the American government. It is. The official mentions color revolutions. He mentions being representative of a bunch of well-trained individuals. And then he says that if the president of the United States wishes to keep his regime, he ought not have fired them.
Okay. Well, so it is false, of course, again.
Naturally, this represents a flagrant inversion of how our government system's supposed to work. We cannot have a democratic republic if the hired help responds to being let go by endeavoring to stage a coup.
Yeah, well, amazing. And I was rereading the Axios article on the Democrat members of Congress, and my favorite, I think, is the one who is a Democrat House member who tells Axios, I actually attended a meeting when he's talking about his constituents. They say he told them, when they light a fire, my thought is to grab an extinguisher. That's the lawmaker speaking. He says he was told by someone in the audience, have you tried gasoline?
Here it is. Yes. A ninth Democratic lawmaker told Axios, I actually said in a meeting, when they light a fire, my thought is to grab an extinguisher. And someone at the table said, have you tried gasoline?
And on top of my naive question about insurance is, you know, there are state and in most states and in the federal government, inciting a riot is a crime.
Well, but that's only if you're not a liberal. If you're a Democrat in good standing, it's speech. And Donald Trump should not interfere with their speech.
Okay.
It was explained exhaustively on CNN during the Summer of Love. I can send you some clips. You know how it works.
Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. But if you know, for the rest of it, just to be clear, if you're listening today and you're a new listener, you don't get to do this, okay? They get to do this.
Yes, be careful with that one. Yeah.
But no, what you're watching is hand-to-hand combat. This is a civil war. You're watching it in Alvarado, where they attempted to execute the ICE officers. You're watching it in Portland, where they tried to block them into the building and set it on fire and murder them. And you're watching it yesterday in McAllen, Texas, where they, liberal lunatics, this one in full combat gear, opened fire on ICE agents who were just arriving for work.
Mm-hmm. One of the officers in stable condition now, having survived a bullet wound from that one.
Yeah, they thought they were firing at an ICE agent, apparently, but
it hit a city police officer. Yeah.
So, but you know what? Last time, we didn't put it down. We didn't. Trump let them run around. Remember, they did $2 billion worth of damage. That was the final estimate for the Summer of Love from the insurance industry.
Yeah.
Largest amount of destruction dollar for dollar ever on U.S. soil, with the exception of the Civil War. Only the Civil War was bigger. And they were not prosecuted federally. Trump didn't do it. And I think part of the reason he didn't was because he was under 50%. It was very wobbly. We were going into a election. He's putting it down this time. So you know what this is, Roger? This is like if you have kids and you let them get away one time with slapping their brother and stealing his ice cream.
Yeah.
Now the kid's out of control and you got to reassert your authority. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of violence and screaming in the house as you reassert your authority. But eventually things calm down.
Eventually.
When they're all in prison. That's or timeout, right. Whichever comes first.
Without precedent doesn't mean anything anymore.
No, it doesn't. And this is the number one article. It's been bouncing around all morning. It's top five. From Axios, in terms of hits, clicks, shares, and likes, Democrats told to, quote, get shot, unquote, for the anti-Trump resistance. And within hours, a man clad in body armor, dressed in all black, those are the Democrats' street block clothes colors. They're black. Head to toe. Tried to murder yet another ICE agent. The fourth time in a week that violent Democrat insurrectionists have tried to murder federal Border Patrol or ICE agents. That one happened in McAllen. There was the one on the 4th in Alvarado. It was 11 lunatics involved in that. People who met online were like-minded and decided they were going to set off fireworks, get the ICE agents to come outside, and then execute them. So the Democrat base is very much responding to the Democrats' call for violence. And Axios just laid this out. They interviewed more than 24 House Democrats for the story. All of them assuring Axios, yes, our constituents just want blood. Quote, blood, unquote. Democrat members of Congress are facing a growing thrum of demands to break the rules, fight dirty, and not be afraid to get hurt, Axios writes. What's going on with their constituents, and they experience a lot of this back in their districts, they claim. Growing anger among their base. It's morphed into disregard for American institutions, political traditions, and even the rule of law. Ha! Democrats never had any respect for the rule of law. They've always thought it didn't apply to them. What a crock. The idea that we're going to save every norm and that we're not going to play the Republican game, I don't think that's resonating with voters anymore. That the Democrat base has a sense of fear and despair and anger. Axios spoke to more than 24 House Democrats for this story, many requesting anonymity to offer candid insights about their interactions with constituents and activists. The base feels they're not doing enough to counter Trump's agenda. You mean actually enforcing the law as written on the books? The grassroots wants more, Axios, right? Some of them have suggested what we really need to do is be willing to get shot while visiting ICE facilities or federal agencies. You mean because you're trying to block the agents in while you throw the Molotov cocktail through the window, kill them all? like in Portland, twice this weekend. You can watch the video on my X feed. They surround it, roll one of those big industrial garbage cans in front of it, the steel kind, to block them in. Then they throw the Molotov into the building. Took snipers on the roof two times to clear them off. And what they do is they blockade the building. They form a human blockade. It's an attempt at murder. They've been doing it since the summer of love. I've been playing this over and over. So I know you need to hear it to believe it. This is Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler back during the summer of love when they were doing this then.
When you commit arson with an accelerant in an attempt to burn down a building that is occupied by people that you have intentionally trapped inside, you are not demonstrating. You are attempting to commit murder. This is not the first time that people have tried to set fire to a city building with people intentionally trapped inside. Unfortunately, it's not even the second time. And by the way, this building is in a residential neighborhood.
Yeah, so they pioneered this summer of love, but then the Democrats won, so they didn't have to kill anyone anymore. Listen to this paragraph. I want you to hear it from Axios, liberal publication. The grassroots wants more, Democrat Congress members say. Some of them have suggested what we really need to do is be willing to get shot when visiting ICE facilities. Our own base is telling us that what we're doing is not good enough, that there needs to be blood to grab the attention of the press and the public. What are they doing? This is a feedback loop. What they're telling their constituents when they call Axios, everyone around the country wants blood. It's not just you. They're all picking up weapons. Everybody wants to get shot. Why don't you go first? Go ahead. Go first. They're trying to push them into a violent insurrection to protect the shadow nation of 20 to 50 million they have imported to cancel and outvote us so that they can have their Chinese-style authoritarian regime one-party system. It's that simple. There is no other issue in this country right now. Will we keep the Chinese-style one-party system they have imported to outvote us? And Democrats are willing to die to keep, well, they're willing to have their sheeples die. And they're prodding them. Stephen Miller correctly, he is Trump's deputy chief of staff, correctly called this the central struggle of our time. Listen.
This is the central struggle in the West. The Democrat Party's objective is to flood the West with millions upon millions of illegals from the developing world, from the poor nations of the world, the failed states of the world, the collapsing states of the world, believing that in so doing, they will collapse the West. They will collapse the middle class.
Uh-huh.
They will collapse the population that has lived here before the migrants came. And in so doing, they think in the rubble of that, they can rule. They can sit on top the pile of ashes. Ask yourself this. Why is it that Democrats are so insistent that unlimited numbers of illegals from countries that are incapable of managing their own affairs come here? Countries like Somalia, countries like Haiti, countries that have no history of successful self-government, and they want unlimited numbers of illegals from those countries and refugees from those countries to come here with no chance at the pace, the scale, the scope of arrivals at being able to assimilate and integrate into the American way of life. What has it done to our schools? What has it done to our hospitals? What has it done to just traffic in our cities? Every issue that affects our quality of life, Jesse, public safety, drugs, crime, education, healthcare, waiting in the emergency room, are all exacerbated, worsened, and undermined by mass illegal immigration.
And that's it. This is a civil war. You're watching it. It's just slow rolling right now, and it's in the early guerrilla warfare stage. That's how Marxists fight. Go read Marx's books. He's big into guerrilla warfare because they don't have the numbers for a straight-on military clash. So they fight the way guerrilla warriors do. They creep up, they kill, they pull back. It instills terror. Why now? Like even this week. Lots of reasons. Number one is that Trump just got $175 billion for immigration enforcement. Plans to hire 10,000 ICE agents. They got to slow that down. They got to terrify people. Well, you know, maybe you show up for work and we execute you in the parking lot. You know, we've been threatening kids, people's children. We've been showing up on ICE agents' front lawns. We've been doxing them so other liberal lunatics can find them. Do you really want to work for ICE? I mean, it doesn't pay that much. Maybe you just keep your job with the sheriff's agency. Maybe you don't fight for your country. Maybe you let us have it. You need to think about your kids. It's where we are. I'll be right back. If you listen to my Battleground America podcast, you've heard me say it for a very long time that I believe the Democrat Party is deliberately merging with these international gangs. They envy the system that they see in Mexico, where you share in the proceeds of the crimes committed by the gangs. You get on their gang roll, their gang payroll as a political official. And it works out great for you because if somebody runs against you and they're not on the payroll, they just kill them. Street thugs. That's what we're seeing in the streets. And I said, you are watching the Democrat Party merge with the cartels. You will see us lose territory to the cartels in this country. They will control them just as Mexico has lost territory. You'll see crazy brazen things like we just saw down in Mexico where a candidate from the president's own party who had run afoul of the cartels was executed live on Facebook. They streamed it along with their daughter at a campaign event. Shoulders are shrugged and things just go on as usual. That's how it is in Mexico. Democrats want that here. Street muscle for fear. Think what they could do if they had the cartels at Antifa surrounding ICE facilities. They're working up to it. We've seen all the signs. It's just going so slowly that it's not clear what it is. But we're in a civil war. We're in a civil war. Remember this last week? Cynthia Gonzalez, vice mayor of Cudahy.
In Los Angeles. 18th Street, Florencia. Where's the leadership at? Because you guys are all about territory, and this is 18th Street, and this is Florencia. You guys tag everything up, claiming hood. And now that your hood's being invaded by the biggest gang there is, there ain't a peep out of you. It's everyone else who's not about the gang life that's out there protesting and speaking up. We're out there, like, fighting our turf, protecting our turf, protecting.
She wants them to come out and kill ICE. That was just last week. Any Democrat condemnation? No, they're totally on board. They're totally on board. And now the absolute freak show level spectacle. Because it is. It's a freak show. These people are crazy. Of the mayor of L.A. demanding ICE leave MacArthur Park. Folks, just that you got to get to visual on this, okay? They're out there with tanks, with the military. Because that's what it takes to clear out MacArthur Park. Why do they need the military? They are fully suited up for war. Well, because it's MS-13 they're clearing out of the park. MS-13 is taking the park. They control it. They sell drugs there. They sell guns there. Total gang control of the park. And they also sell immigration documents there. So you can commit immigration fraud. And what does this Democrat mayor do? She puts herself physically in between ICE and the military and MS-13. Never mind, regular people can't go to that park anymore. It's conquered American territory. It's post-American. Not recognizably American. She's defending MS-13. You're going to tell me this party isn't merging with MS-13? You're going to tell me they're not, because they are. And you're going to begin, if this is allowed, to see these gangs kill on behalf of Democrat Party. It's what they want. It's what they're working up to. Here's Karen Bass. And here's what's happening. She goes up to one of the Customs and Border Patrol officials, demands his cell phone, says, I want to talk to your boss. She's allegedly put in touch with the head of Customs and Border Enforcement.
Yes, my comment is they need to leave, and they need to leave right now. They need to leave because this is unacceptable.
Who did you speak with? Mayor Bass, who did you speak with on the phone just now? Who did you speak with on the phone?
The head of Customs.
The guy whose phone she took later said, sorry, we're going to go wherever we want. We're not listening to her. Meanwhile, a San Antonio City Council Democrat, this is another Democrat, San Antonio's City Council candidate has called for the killing of ICE agents. And DHS is already tracking him down. He was commenting on protecting MacArthur Park, keeping it lawless gang territory the way Democrats want it. And so he retweeted Karen Bass demanding that the mayor of L.A. demanding that they leave and wrote, and they will get shot by the Los Angeles public. I want to see a few dead ICE agents. Los Angeles, don't let me down. No condemnation from Democrats because that's what they want to. That's where we are. And you know what they're doing? They are begging Trump to put them down because they need a dictator. They promised their sheeples a dictator. He was going to be tough. He was going to crack down. He was going to take people's free speech like they took ours. He was going to do all these terrible things. He hasn't done it. They need him to do it or look like he's doing it in the streets so they can lie about it. So as to further drive the insurrection, confuse the sheeple. Number one, so they don't lose their credibility because of all the lies they tell. But also, so it'll look like Trump's a dictator so they can get their sheeple in the street. So it's just a feedback loop. And that's what this Axios law, article is. Again, the headline, Democrats told to get shot for the anti-Trump resistance. Keep in mind what they're resisting. It's just federal law. That's all they are enforcing federal law. Look, all the Democrats have to do is change federal law, and NIs can't do this, right? I mean, we don't have to kill people. We don't have to shoot people. Just make the argument to the American people. If they're in the right and they're moral, make the argument. Open borders. We could do it by law. Congress can open the borders by law. Make the argument. Campaign on it. But they don't want to, do they? They don't want to. They want to import their shadow nation in violation of the law. And they want it so that by the time you wake up and realize you've been replaced by 20 to 50 million of them, it's too late. And then they will cackle and laugh at what they pulled off. The only thing standing in the way is Donald Trump. Wow. Okay. Laura Loomer has had a lot of influence over Trump over the years, particularly when it comes to vetting and selecting, nominees for stuff. He's pulled some after she's objected to them on X, and she's been on his plane. Apparently a breakup going on between her and AG Pam Bondi. Headline in the UK Independent this morning. Laura Loomer rips AG Pam Bondi over Epstein files. She was always lying. Laura Loomer has repeatedly called for Pam Bondi to resign over her handling of the Epstein files. Simply put, she doesn't believe her. Look, if you know MAGA world, Laura Loomer is a pretty big influencer. For her to break with Bondi like this is a big deal. This is not going away. Neither is something else. Charlie Kirk, and we're going to get into this tomorrow. I didn't want to mix up all my stories today, but Charlie Kirk announcing, can't get a bigger Trump supporter than that, he is hearing whispers that a bill is already being prepared for mass amnesty in Washington, and that Trump may back it. And I'm talking not 2 million or 1 million working on farms and stuff. I mean 25 to 50. They seem pretty confident they're going to get it passed. He was raising the alarm on his show yesterday, which is really frightening. I mean, that's the country. If they can get Trump to go along on that, I mean, Democrats just absolutely win. We're done. And Charlie Kirk handed out a warning on that yesterday. We're going to pick this up tomorrow and deep dive into it. There was just too much other bigger news, but I'll play a little bit of it because this really made a swirl yesterday on his show.
But you would think that, hey, we get $175 billion for ICE, we're going to get mass deportations. We're going to be able to have now the largest deportation effort ever. Yes, in theory, but in practice, there's something else afoot. Literally, the day before President Donald Trump was signing the Big Beautiful Bill, I got a couple phone calls from people that you would call members of the ruling class. A lot of money and a lot of connections. They said, Charlie, isn't this amazing? We passed the Big Beautiful Bill. I said, oh, yes, sir. And they said, now we need mass amnesty. What? I said, we haven't even signed the bill yet. They said, yeah, you know, these deportations, we're going to lose the midterms because of the deportations. The people on the right, they'll understand. And we need to come to the middle and we need to legalize the 25 million people here in this country. I was speechless. Because here I am actually thinking, a little naive, we're going to sign this big, beautiful bill. And we're actually going to get mass deportations uninterrupted from an asymmetrical attack.
It all makes sense. That's why Trump floated that as a trial balloon. He just said, well, you know, hotel workers, farmhands, they might get to see. He wants to see how we react to that, see if we'll go for something maybe a little bigger. Remember he said there was already a bill? Same thing Charlie Kirk saying, except in this big bill, it's much, much bigger. More on that tomorrow. Michael Gallagher is up next.